Good evening and welcome to WeWo, which is what we affectionately call Wednesday worship. And I'm so glad we can be together in worship tonight. I don't know how your week is going, but it's about to get better as we worship together live. Somehow when we turn our eyes to God, God has a way through worship to lift our spirits, lift our hearts, lift our minds so we see ourselves, see others, and see our futures differently. So as we worship together, may God lift us all up so that we can see forward together in new ways. Let us worship God.
Good evening, everyone. Are you all ready to sing tonight to God's honor and glory? Let's do it. Here we go.
The splendor of the King, say, the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice.
Let all the earth rejoice.
Let all the earth rejoice.
You wrap yourself.
You wrap yourself in light.
Darkness tries.
Darkness tries to hide.
Trembles at your voice.
The Lord.
Today.
A reading from the book of James. I should say, a very short reading from the book of James. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. May God bless us with understanding. There's a whole sermon in half of this verse. Whenever you face trials of any kind, that's whenever, not if ever you face trials. When, James says, not if. When you struggle. When you suffer, when your strength fails, when your faith is shaken, when it's not fair, when your heart breaks and your legs give way beneath you and you fall on your face and pray in sobs, when this happens to you, he says, because it will. It will. You will live with pain. You will grieve terrible losses. You will wonder how to go on. There's no getting around it. Not even if you are a good person. Not even if you are a good Christian. Faith in God is not insurance against hardship or sorrow, however much we wish it were. And however much we let ourselves believe it to be, even knowing better. Don't just ask James, ask Job, ask Jeremiah, ask Ruth, ask Rachel, ask David, ask Mary, ask Peter, ask Paul, gosh, ask Jesus. I'll admit it, I have wept. Why? And why God? And why me? As if I were the only one who has ever mourned or seen a dream turn to dust, as if the truth of James's whenever you face, of his when you face, were for someone else, for everyone else. Maybe, probably, it isn't possible to not ask the why God, why me question, but also, maybe, probably, the why me needs to be grounded in that when you face. The almost surprising feeling of my own pain and the feeling that it is undeserved and the feeling that it is uniquely, specially awful. I need to be held together with a remembrance that pain is a given, part of life. In a way, no one else knows what I'm going through, but in a way, everyone else knows what I'm going through. The why me without James's when you, it turns pain in on itself. The pain intensifies and festers and becomes bitterness and blame. It becomes a curse. But the why me that stays rooted in James is when you face, it opens and it opens to the world where everybody knows what it is to be brought low and to be barely able to see the light, and where it can become empathy and compassion. There's a whole sermon in half of this verse, but James continues on. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it. Consider it. When you struggle, when you suffer, when your strength fails, when your faith is shaken, when it's not fair, first, stop and think. Think for a second. Think, he says. He commands it, actually. Think. Think, you. As far as commands go, it's an odd one. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Now, those are commands that feel like commands. Those are commands you can say in a stern voice. Thou shalt think falls flat. And yet there it is, a duty, a demand. Think. Think about how you think about your pain. Generally, the demands of religion are pretty concrete. They are do's and don'ts to live out, like pray, don't lie, keep your promises. And the ones that aren't, and that bear upon our thoughts and our desires, you know, don't lust, don't hate, don't envy, they indirectly aim at our actions all the same. We don't lust and we don't hate and we don't envy in part because of what lusting and hating and envy inevitably lead to. Namely, we check our thoughts and our desires because of the deeds they grow to become. Is James's considerate, his think you, is it like that? Think about how you think about your pain. Take a good look at how you look at grief and loss. Because how you think about pain affects how you live with pain. Because how you see grief and loss shapes your experience of grief and loss. Patterns of thinking will play themselves out. Despair, victim mentalities, denial, avoidance, whatever. These have a way of spinning out, of taking on lives of their own, as do intentions to be hopeful, and to show good humor, and to practice gratitude always. There is sermon upon sermon in this single verse, this difficult verse with its stark truths, this verse which cuts to the bone, this verse which seems to ask the impossible. As James concludes, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Joy. When you struggle, when you suffer, when your strength fails, when your faith is shaken, when it's not fair, think about how you think about the pain. Breathe and believe as best you can what will feel unbelievable. That there is a kind of joy you can know even amidst suffering. I wonder if James wasn't worried, wasn't embarrassed to say it. Because he knew it could be taken the wrong way. Because he knew it could strike people as glib, as Pollyanna-ish, as pious nonsense, as trivializing, as tone deaf, as shaming, as cruel. Even so, he says it. Now, he doesn't say that suffering is fun or good. He isn't a religious sadist. He doesn't say, get over it. He doesn't say, it's not that bad. He doesn't say, well, look on the bright side. As James sees it, your suffering is real. Your pain is wrenching. It is that bad. And there can be joy. Joy when there shouldn't be. Joy that makes no sense. Joy that is a surprise. Joy that is a gift of grace. Joy that is a little miracle. It's a joy that feels different from the joy you feel at a wedding or baby shower or when laughing with friends or at karaoke. It's a joy that feels like gladness crossed with a sort of confidence, crossed with peace, maybe still with some sorrow. It's a joy that feels like something in you is relaxing into a deep trust. It's a joy that feels like an it's going to be okay feeling. A joy that feels like an it's going to be okay feeling, even if it isn't going to be okay. It's a joy that feels like the goosebumps you get or the tears that fall when there is a presence in the room. You know that God is with you, which is what it is, really. It's joy. Joy in knowing that God is with you and that God meets your pain with a power to heal and to save and to bless, with a power to give shape to a future beyond the pain, with a power to make your pain more than pain, to use it to grow you, to use it for good. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, James says. Life is hard, really hard. We all get hurt, and that's just how it is. But we have each other, and we have a choice to see everything we go through as the raw material God will mold into blessings. Blessings that, meanwhile, we can await with joy. Amen.
And thank you so much for that. You've given us so much to think about. And it's really provocative to think that even in the midst of suffering and trials and challenges, there can be joy. And what stands out for me is when you mentioned think about it. Think about it as the gateway between the trials and the joy. And here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if one of the ways we think about it is to pray about it, that somehow entering into prayer as we consider what we're facing somehow helps us connect to the joy that is offered to us even amidst trials. And we are all facing trials right now. And so now we have our opportunity to pray, a way to connect what we're facing with the joy that God offers us. And we're going to do two things tonight with the prayer. One is we're going to use a liturgical prayer, which we often don't do. It's usually prayers we've prepared or prayers that we offer in the moment. But from time to time, I like to use liturgical prayers because I know that they're the prayers that have been used for generations, the prayers from our tradition that were on the lips and hearts of my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. They're prayers in this moment that are offered here and in Brazil and in Germany and in Korea. There's something about joining together in these prayers that binds us together with one another and with God. So we're going to do a liturgical prayer tonight. But the second thing we're going to do is in this liturgical prayer, there are pauses. After we think about the things for which we're thankful or the people or places for whom we want to pray. And one of the things I miss about WeWo is in our times of prayer together, we can name those things, literally name them, talk with one another about them and share in them. Now, it's very hard to do, and maybe we can do it through chat. But what I'd like to do tonight in this prayer is, as we move through and there's that period of silence, I want you to name it, the person or the joy or the situation, whatever's on your heart and mind related to that, just name it out loud wherever you are. And it's a way for us to join together in prayer in this moment. So let us pray. We praise you and thank you, O Lord, that we have worshiped together and experienced you and your goodness and the many gifts you have given us. And so in this moment, we name the things and the people you have used to bless our lives, and we do so with great gratitude in our hearts for you. Mindful of all you have done for us, O Lord, we want to offer to you our prayers for all people. We remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, the prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their sufferings may be called. O Lord of Providence, who holds the destiny of the nations in your hand, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they, together with all our nation, may first seek your kingdom and righteousness so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures, and increase in us the recognition that we are all your children. O Savior God, look upon your church and its struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on its weakness. Bring to an end its unhappy divisions and scatter its fears. Look also upon the ministry of your church. Increase its courage, strengthen its faith, and inspire its witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Author of grace and God of love, send your Holy Spirit's blessing to your children here present and to all people. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we head into this week, I have just a couple of announcements for you of things that are coming. First of all, this Sunday, we will celebrate communion together. Yes, that's right. We will celebrate communion virtually. There's something about communion that binds us together and with God in a very special way. And even though we can't be together, we can still celebrate communion. And so to prepare for this, what we need you to do is just find a piece of bread and a cup of juice or wine and have that ready for the service. And also know that if you didn't have it ready and you forgot, you can always hit pause, come back so that we can celebrate communion together. And then on June 7th, we have the virtual hymn sing after the service. The last hymn sing was so popular, it's coming back by popular demand. There's something about singing our favorite hymns that really has a way of lifting our spirits. So I invite you to join us after the service on June 7th. And then on June 14th, we have a homecoming celebration after the service. Now, typically, we have homecoming in September when we all come back after summer vacations and kids at camp, but things have been a bit different, and we haven't been able to be home together. So we thought we would have a virtual homecoming to give us a taste of what it's like to be together and remind us that even though we're worshiping virtually and meeting virtually, we are still home. It's going to be fun. It's going to be funny. It's going to be inspiring. So I invite you on June 14th to stay after the worship service for the homecoming celebration. And now we have an opportunity to give to God of our gifts because God has blessed us so richly. And the way we can do that is either on the upper left-hand corner of your screen, click on give or donate. And if you can't find that, just simply go to our webpage at marblechurch.org and click on give in the upper right-hand corner. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to our ministry. It means so much to us.
One of my favorite scriptures says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by the stripes that Jesus bore on the cross at Calvary, we are healed. So if tonight, if you stand in need of healing, physically, emotionally, psychologically, or spiritually, I want you to know that there is healing for you in God's presence.
For my every moment, my raging sea, you walk with me through fire, heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in
raging sea.
Calm my raging sea.
God, you've walked with me through fire.
Walk with me through fire.
And you've healed all of my disease.
Heal all my disease.
And this part says, God, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Say that part one more time. I trust
I
in you.
I trust in you.
Today. Nothing is impossible for our God.
I hope that you love God so much that you love nothing else too much, and that you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. May the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. And let the whole church say there in the chat box, amen. Be well.